Well, hello, everybody. This is the coach, Bill Sparkman, and first of all, thanks for joining today's business building session, Game Plan 2014, Double Your Business and Double Your Income. You know, my goal today is very simply this. I want to deliver to you some tips and some tools and some strategies that can really help impact your results this year. Versus just a bunch of more ideas that never seem to get off the ground. I know we're not short on ideas today, so I want to really come up with the things that you'll be able to utilize once again to grow your business. Now, to get better results or to make more money in 2014, you're going to have to make some critical changes to your approach. Now, along with those critical changes, you're also going to have to stay focused on the basics as well. You know, I've been trying to bust a myth that we've heard a million times lately, the one that says, if you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you've always got. I don't even think that's true anymore. With all of the changes in the industry, the changes in technology, I think that if you keep doing what you've always done or what you did last year, you won't even get the same results any longer because, again, the acceleration of the changes that we're seeing these days. You know, I don't think either it's just going to be working harder, because if you're working harder now without becoming more effective or getting better results, really you're just speeding up your rate of failure anyway. So the answer is we're going to have to really, look at these changes, build a marketing plan, a game plan with these changes in mind with the industry and technology. And the changes are just not going to stop. We already know that. They're probably making changes right now during this particular session. When we're done, they'll have more. So I think, as REO Speedwagon says, we just got to roll with the changes. Now, here's a proactive change, your first one for the session today, that you can do right now. Well, how about 5 minutes after we get done with the call today? And that's to change your voicemail message. Come on, it's a new year. You've turned the page. You know, that's one thing that you can do proactive right off the bat, is change your voicemail message. And while you're doing that, keep in mind that it might be a great time to really upgrade your energy level. You know, with all of the prospecting and all of the business building tools you'll be using, very often someone listening to your voicemail message may be the first time they've ever really heard you. Now, first of all, if you want more business or do you want to double your income next year, you could start with just answering your telephone. But we're still, when you're with clients and when other things are taking place and you are letting your phone go to voicemail, man, that's the time to just crank it up. You know, really be high energy with that message that you leave. Okay, here's the objectives that I have for our time together today. First of all, I'm going to give you some of those tangible tools. Tangible tools, by the way, that are working for other account executives that might work for you. I don't know they will, but they are working for others. And you know, that's one of the two ways that I've found that you can fail in the business today. One is continually doing what doesn't work, and number two, not doing what is working for someone else. So I'm going to deliver those tips and tools for you to help you create predictable income and less stress. Now, by the way, I guess if you're doubling your business and doubling your income, you probably have less stress anyway, but we'll see where we can go with that. I'm going to talk about three areas in the spirit of our time together today, just these three critical areas that I think have to be absolutely airtight. Airtight meaning these three areas of your business this year have got to be just solid if you are interested in, obviously, making more money, increasing your pull-through ratio, and some of those things. So listen for the nuggets that you'll actually use, once again, versus taking a bunch of notes. Just listen carefully, and when you hear that nugget or that thing, that one thing that you know that you'll be able to use for yourself, write that one down. And I think that'll make this more productive for you. Now, if you aren't driving in the car, be sure you keep yourself, keep a pen handy. I may say something smart. You never know. I've been known to do that, so I never know when it's coming, though, by the way, or else I would tell you to write this down. It's smart. Now, this is almost smart. With all this great information I'm going to give you today, I don't want this to sound like that I'm asking you to just add all these new ideas and all these new strategies to what you're currently doing. Sometimes I believe that success is just as much related to elimination or subtraction as it is addition. I didn't say that very well. I'll say it a better way. Success isn't always just about adding things to what you're doing. Very often, it's being keen enough to know the certain things that you need to subtract from what you're doing to make more room, by the way, for all these new ideas and strategies. Now, what you might want to eliminate, well, I think you already know, it might be those, I don't know, those negative people that seem to creep into your day from time to time. It could be those, brokers that steal from you. You know what I mean? They steal. They're your robbing brokers. They rob you of time, energy, effort. The ones that become more takers than actually bringing anything to the table. So listen for both. By the way, just things that you might want to add to your plan this year, and then listen for things that you might want to actually eliminate after the call's over. Well, let's start off with critical area number one. And for me, it all starts with this, and it's the right plan. Now, I said a little bit about that already. The right plan, not have a plan, you should get a plan. I think you have to have the right plan. It's got to be market sensitive. We'll talk a little bit about that with regard to some of the changes that are going on. Now, I trust that you have a copy of my Wholesale Account Executive Game Plan 2014. It's a 28-page business plan. Oh, it's got all sorts of great tools in there for you to use to really direct your business, to create intention, but then also having the tools to help you get from where you are to where you're trying to get to. So you should have a copy of that. If you don't, be sure just to let me know. I'll be happy to share that with you. In the game plan, it's got actually seven pillars of your business that have to be strong again, but we're going to look just at three today, and the right plan being one. Now, in the plan that you'll get, there's three areas. There's three parts to that plan in three pages, and maybe that would be a better way to say it, that I think are probably the three most important. There's lots of good stuff in it. Take my word for it. But these three pages, I want you to have a little bit of a sense of where I'm coming from. And that is very close to the beginning. There's a page that says, why are you in the wholesale mortgage industry? And, you know, I've given you a whole page to write there because I think it's important for you to remember why you're doing this. Because I suggest that all the motivation that you'll need this year will come from this one page. Because, you know, that question why, we're trying to create purpose for your business. And with purpose in anything, a project, a task, a relationship, a business, any venture, with high purpose, motivation is, it's just natural. So when people always tell me, boy, how do you stay motivated in this business? Well, you have a plan that has high purpose. You remember why you're doing it. You know, you're going to lose your mojo. Let's face it. You're human. So in those days, those moments, with those brokers, those files, those times, you might have to go back and read that page. You might want to laminate it. You might have to carry it around with you because, you know, you're going to lose your mojo. I just want to see how long it's going to take you to get back in the game, and that page might help. Next, I think that you're going to have to get very clear for yourself about the areas that you're going to need to improve on in 2014. I mean, come on, if you want to double your income, you want to double your business, you want to have predictability in your income and less stress, I mean, come on, you're going to have to get better in certain areas. Improvement's not an option. The question is, what areas of your business, if you did improve, would have the biggest impact on your bottom line. That's the key for me. You know, there is no neutral. I think you're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. So in your plan, I've given you a self-audit that you can, if you take the time to use it, it's called the Wholesale Account Executive's Reality Check. And I've just identified a whole bunch of areas of your business. You give yourself a little score in each one of them. And at the end of that audit, it may illuminate some areas of your business where you could get a little bit better. And I say a little bit better. I'm not looking for quantum leaps. You know, if you only got 5% better in five areas of your business, that's a 25% increase in your effectiveness. So you've got that, the reality check, to let you become clearer about those areas that if you did get better, it would have a huge impact, not only on your bottom line income, but on your overall results. Now, the one last page, at least, that I want to talk about here could be the most important page of your whole plan this year. And it is a page that you're going to be able to complete for yourself. And it talks about your competitive advantage. Now, that's a little jargony. I understand that. I'm going to explain it a little bit differently. I want you to be able to tell me, as a broker, why I should do business with you, or why should I keep doing business with you. For me, it's more about what makes you stand out. I mean, come on, let's face it. There's a few other people in the area that you do business that are doing the exact same thing you do with the same product. They got about the same price. They got about the same service. I mean, when you think about it, why am I going to give you business? So here's how I want to explain it to you, and I call it the 10% difference. I could say to a broker that 90% of what I can do with earning your business, just about every other wholesale AE in the area could just about do the same thing. But here's the 10% that you get when you get me that you will get nowhere else from no other company or no other AE. Now, that's a bold statement. But it's only the 10%. See, I can't go out, and I don't want you to go out all day trying to win business on the 90. I mean, come on, the field's pretty level. Price, product, service, I mean, come on. There's got to be something that you can speak about that can actually make you stand out, that can capture the attention of your broker, that can create interest and curiosity. And it could actually eliminate your competition. You see, it's the one thing your competition can't take from you. They can lie about their service being better, and they can lie about their rates being better, and they can lie about, oh, they got some great new product. but when it gets down to your personal 10% difference, they can't even speak to that. So I just don't want you to overthink this. I don't want you to overanalyze it. Just give me a reason why I should do business with you. I think that just the statement alone makes you stand out. I don't think other AEs even bring this up. So I think just by bringing it up, you've got a head start with that alone. Now, make sure that it also ends with a benefit to the broker. In other words, whatever you say your 10% difference is, you have to end it with. And so the benefit to you is, see, the broker needs to see the benefit of your 10% difference. Anyway, so I think when you come up with this, it almost becomes your, it's like your home field advantage, you know, for 2014. So once again, don't overthink it. Just give me a reason. Why should I do business with you? And if I think if you come up with that, that's going to be the ABCs of you, and that can make a big difference in your business. Now, let's see. In the plan, there are also other tools for you. There's some time management tools to help you get more done in the time that you have. That's different, isn't it? See, I don't want you to get more done by having to work more. How about if you work the exact same amount of time you are now, but you're able to get more done? See, you've got tools for that. I've given you some of those. I think I've given you tools so you can become better at managing interruptions, managing distractions, managing priorities, you know, kind of spending more time on income-producing activities. You know, in your plan, I've got a form in there called the money list, and it's just got 10 things you can do during the day that can actually make you money. Because I think that high achievers simply spend more of their day, more time, working on high-value activities. And what are high-value activities? Those that can make you money. So you'll see the you'll see that money list. Now, that money list flyer, by the way, is also a good it's a good flyer to use with your brokers. they're all interested in what they can do to make more money. So think about how you could use that, not only for yourself, but it's one of the flyers that I'm asked for the most from brokers, and it has about the most shelf life. You know, if you give it to your broker, they'll probably leave it around. So here's an action step for you. Before we leave the right plan, I'm going to ask you to consider not turning on your computer for the first hour of the day. That first hour of the day is what I call the hour of power. That is a business building activity 60 minutes, because you know what happens as soon as you turn on your computer. There it is. Game over. Going to the emails. You're on defense now, answering all these silly emails, looking at a lot of them that don't, all they're doing again is taking time from you. What if you just said for 1 hour, my very first hour of the day, I am going to dedicate that to just business building activities. Now, you'll find some of those on your money list. I'm sure you already know if I said you have 60 uninterrupted minutes right now, what can you do to build your business? I'm sure you can come up with some ideas. You could spend 60 minutes just following up, calling your brokers. Anyway, you got the idea. I want to see if you can't create some momentum that first hour for the rest of the day. So I don't know. That's going to be a difficult one. I understand that you'll be sitting there at your desk or wherever you are looking at that computer and it's not on, and I mean it's going to freak you out, but that's okay. You'll get over it. You're not saving lives, all right? If it's a real emergency, I mean, won't most brokers give you the latitude of at least 60 minutes? If you had an autoresponder on your email that said, I'm in a meeting from 9 till 10, 8 till 9, I will get back to you right after that. Or your voicemail, you could change that to just say, I'm in a meeting until 8:30, I'll get back to you afterwards. Most people will give you that 60 minutes so that you can create some momentum for your day. Two last things. First of all, plans don't create results. Mine, yours, I don't care whose it is. You could be the greatest plan in the world, and the greatest plan in the world is the one that you actually use. So execution is the key. Somebody said, what's the key to having a good plan? Execution. I don't care what the plan says. It's executing it that will impact your bottom line. Now, you've also got the loan officer version of Game Plan 2014, and if you don't, let me know again. You should have that, because that is a great value-added offering for your brokers that I can just about guarantee that every single one of them are going to want a copy of. You can use that in a number of different ways. You can offer it by telephone, voicemail, email, but I'll tell you what, just about, once again, this time of year, at the beginning of the year, every broker wants it. They're all trying to come up with their plan for the year. You know, about the middle of the year, they're still looking for a new plan because theirs didn't work. they didn't execute. And, you know, by about the fourth quarter, they're still looking for a new plan. This thing will give you some real traction all year long. And once again, it has shelf life. If one of your brokers wants a copy of the Loan Officer Game Plan 2014, I suggest, don't just email it to them. I would suggest that you put it in a three-ring binder. Make it a business-building opportunity. Deliver it. Put your name all over it. I don't care. But if it's in a notebook, it's going to sit on his desk for a while. So I think that's where I think you get some shelf life. All right, enough of the right plan. Critical area number two is what I call the right sales skills. Now, you've heard this before. I mean, come on. This is an area of your business that I say you cannot be passive in. No way. Passive salespeople have skinny kids. You got to be dead on and become, I say, we just have to be a better salesperson. I will say, without this skill, everything else is a waste of time. You can work all you want on your great plan. You can do all the prospecting and marketing you want. But if you can't get somebody to say, okay, I'll start doing business with you, isn't all that a waste of time? You got to get really good. Being in front of your broker, I think, is pretty important. But once you're there, you got to have some great skills along the way. I want you to be pleasantly annoying. Part of it is that. I think great salespeople are, aren't they? They're like pleasantly annoying. You never know if you should hate them or love them. I mean, but they're like that rock in your shoe. You know how irritating that is? You get a little pebble in your shoe. That's a great salesperson. See, I think you have to be better and have better sales skills at winning the first loan from a broker. You know, the one that says, why should I give you a loan? I've got three lenders I use now and everything's good. Well, you've got to be good at winning that first loan. You have to be really good at keeping the brokers that you already have. That's a different type of a sales skill. And then you've got to be good at winning back business that you've lost along the way. See, if you and I were going into a broker shop today and we had that opportunity, I would first say, who are we going to go see? What's the purpose of our sales call? Are we trying to win new business? Are we trying to acknowledge and maybe recognize the broker for the business they're giving us? Are we trying to win back business? I think that's where a sales call becomes very purposeful. We have to know what we're trying to do there. So I think with sales skills, you just have to be really good and come up with some really good questions. I think questions just trump answers. As you're meeting brokers, talking to brokers, speaking to them, even talking about your 10% difference, you got to come up with great questions. And one of my favorite questions, and you can really practice this one if you want, it's just a four-letter sales – I mean, it's a great sales question, and it's just four letters. And it's called WHEN, W-H-E-N. When do you know when to follow up with somebody unless you say when anyway? You know, the broker that says, all right, I got it, you're 10%. You know what? I'm going to give you my next loan. That's where, you know, for me, it's like, okay, great. So when would that be? Will I still be in the business? Will it be in my lifetime? When? You know, most people don't like it when you use the word when because it evokes commitment. But again, I go back to when do I follow up? If I say when, I'm going to get that broker package turned in. Great. When can we expect that to be turned in? I don't think it's hammering people. I think it's more like the velvet hammer. But I want people. I don't need any more of these conversations that don't mean anything. You know the brokers or the people who just say things they don't mean. You know, like hey, we gotta get together for lunch sometime. You know, as soon as you pull out your day planner and say, hey, great, when do you want to do that? They're like, oh, my God, he actually wants to eat. Well, they just said that probably for who knows why. Practice this also. Ask great questions. Listen to what your brokers say. And then solve their problem. I think that you become a much more of a consultative salesperson than ever. It's the consultative approach I think is important today. Find out where their pain is and see if there isn't something that we can do to help them solve that. And along the way, I think it's a good time to be more unreasonable. maybe more unreasonable with your requests. Maybe it's more unreasonable with yourself. I think riches favor the bold. You know, it may be time to kick up the bold meter for yourself. It may be time to get outside of those limitations that you might have placed on yourself. Get out there. Get a little nuts. That's okay. You can have a little fun along the way. But those unreasonable requests, you know, the kind like the kids make. They come up with these requests like they see no reason why they can't do anything. You're a four-year-old, say, I want to fly or I want to drive the car. I mean, they just don't understand that there are no limitations. And maybe what they have figured out is the more they ask, the better chance they have at getting what they want. Or the more unreasonable they are, and they don't even know that's what it is, those chances go up dramatically. And they will for you. I believe with all these sales skills, you can get more out of your life and your business what you're trying to generate just by asking more. You know, it's amazing what people will give you if you ask. Well, critical area number three, you got a great plan. You kicked up your level of sales skills, asking great questions. Now we got to figure out a way to get better at the right prospecting. And I say that because there are some real changes in the way that we are prospecting today. I think your success will be closely related to your ability to minimize your time spent with low-profit brokers and maximize your time spent with quality brokers. Now, that's not an aha, I understand, but I think we have to remember that. It's too easy to get sucked into these brokers. They're going to waste your time, your energy, and everything else, where we could be in front of a broker that actually could help build our business. And that's what I'm always looking for. Is this broker or this firm, are they able to help me grow my business? And I think you have that. Maybe the skill here is actually knowing the difference between the ones that you minimize your time with and the ones you maximize your time with in your prospecting. So, and I don't know what else to call it. Prospecting. I don't know. Marketing, that sounds more glamorous. But it really is. We're just every day going out and prospect, trying to get more business, win business, keep business, or win business back. I mean, that's what we're trying to do all day. I don't think you can ever be too busy to prospect for new business. You know, being busy can often be a replacement for action. That's almost smart. Being busy can almost make it okay to not have what you want, because you can tell me then that, well, I'm busy right now. Are you kidding? I can't go out and prospect. I can't go. Look at what it's on my plate. Well, how much of that is business building high-value activities? So, you know, that one about being busy, I know there's so many people that are busy today, but they don't have anything in return. Does that make sense? So just don't be too busy to prospect. We have to be very keen this year helping our brokers make the transition from refis to purchases. That is a challenge for all of your brokers, I have to tell you. And the brokers that I speak to all over the country, when I ask them what their number one challenge is moving forward, it used to just be lead generation. Well, that's always a challenge for your brokers, lead generation. But I think now that challenge has even gotten bigger. It's today they tell me it's finding purchase leads, either from referral sources, from realtors, from consumer direct marketing. They're just looking for a way, and not that refinance business is going to be eliminated, obviously not, but let's face it, it's going to be it's purchase time. And many of your brokers, they don't know how to generate purchases. They never had to. They were hired during the refi boom, or they were given leads. Or when rates are 3.5, come on, how many sales skills do you need? So this is where they need help. Now, I've got a flyer for you if you want it. It's called 16 and a half ways to generate purchase business without chasing realtors. Now, that's another one of those flyers that I got to tell you, every one of your brokers want. They want that flyer, I guarantee it. It'll have shelf life also. They'll figure out what to do with that. And not that I teach brokers how to eliminate realtor referral business, but most of them have no idea. It's easier for a broker to focus on consumer direct business and get their own leads, because with a lead, it's much easier to talk to a realtor. So that's just a great – see that flyer can back up your statement of this 10% difference if – and I'm not saying yours is, but if your 10% said something about – and what's different about me is I'm all about you. I'm all about helping you generate more business, especially purchase business. If you said that, the broker might say, well, good. So how are you going to do that? Right off the bat. I mean, come on. What do you want? I got the money list. I got the loan officer game plan 2014. I've got 16 and a half ways to generate more purchases. I could tell the broker, where do you want to start? I'm here to show you and help you along the way so we can do more business together rather than just coming in and asking for business. Anyway, see, I want you to be more memorable. And I think one of the ways that you become more memorable and less predictable is maybe it's just refining and delivering that 10% difference. That could be one of the ways. But another way that you become more memorable is through some of these tools that you're able to offer your brokers. Well, now, I think that this year we're going to have to use every medium available to reach the broker. let's see. This is probably one of the biggest changes that we've seen. It wasn't too many years ago. We could just fill up the gas tank in the morning, grab a handful of business cards, and go call on mortgage companies all day long. Well, that's changed, hasn't it? There's more virtual loan officers than ever. They're not in the office. We've got email blockers. We've got caller ID. Just voicemail. 8 out of every 10 brokers probably that you call, you get voicemail. So we've got to get pretty good at how to reach that broker. How do we get into great conversations? You got this great 10% difference. Well, if you can't tell it to anybody, who cares? So I think that we have to be able to use, again, every different type of medium this year moving forward so that you can go tell your story to your brokers. Now, I'm going to give you some examples of some of these new prospecting strategies, but I want you to remember it never replaces, let's see how to say this, it'll never replace that face-to-face personal contact. I understand that. I'm just saying that it's not as easy as it was. We have to utilize more than that. Now, I don't want it to sound like it's all about technology. I think, in fact, technology has produced more casualties in our business than anything I've seen in 25 years. But again, I'm going to show you here how to balance high tech and high touch so that you can reach out to more brokers. And that's what we're trying to do. I need to talk to more of them, and I can't do that with all these email blockers and caller ID and voicemail and everything else going on. So here's some things I want you to consider for yourself for this year. First of all, more classes. Bottom line, educational marketing. You got to train your broker. Now, if you think, oh, they know everything, they don't know anything. I already told you they don't even know how to get purchase business. So I think more classes. Teach your brokers how to sell your product. Don't ask them for loans. Show them how to go get loans. And I think that's part of it. We've got some great classes. You know you do. I don't care how large they are. You've got to get brokers. You've got to herd them together. And I think, you know, with classes, that can be one opportunity. Now, if you're looking to gain more attendance at your classes, you can offer things like, well, this time of year, you might have a class on whatever it might be, and then offer free headshots for all your brokers. Now, I can go into pretty much any town, and I'll find the photographer that will come in and do free headshots for the opportunity to be in front of a bunch of brokers and maybe get more business. So that doesn't even cost money. I go back to time of the year. A lot of your brokers are looking to upgrade their picture on their website or their business card. So just that alone could gain more attendance. So and there's plenty of good. We're doing underwriter classes, having panels. We're doing all kinds of things where you can find a way to at least teach a class a month. Number two, you could facilitate mastermind groups. We've started mastermind groups in many, many cities around the country. The AE is just a facilitator. He invites 5, 6, 7, 8 brokers for a weekly or biweekly or maybe once a month, however, to a brainstorm session with other brokers and masterminding. You don't have to worry about doing anything except being the facilitator and going, hi, everybody, so what's going on with you guys? How's the marketing going? Oh, that's it. Now, if you're thinking that brokers aren't going to share ideas with brokers from other companies, I got to tell you, they will. Part of it's this little ego thing, and part of it is that's a challenge. They're looking for things to talk about. So you could do and host classes. You can host mastermind groups. You could host more teleseminars. Like the one you're listening to right now. Remember, they're not in the office. You can't as often go in and do an office presentation like the days gone by. but you've got to find a new way to do that. And that could be via a teleseminar. Come on, it's free. The broker doesn't even have to leave his house. He could listen in, invite a speaker, come up with a relevant topic. But the key is utilize teleseminars. Now, I didn't want to put down e-marketing. I'm okay with e-marketing. I like it. But I want you to think about this. Over 50% of all emails today are opened on a mobile device, an iPad, an iPhone, a smartphone, a notebook, which has really impacted the way that we utilize e-marketing. Just think about your broker that is reading your email on a mobile device. You know, they're on the move, they're on the run, they're not at their computer. You have an attachment. They're never going to look at it. I mean, so e-marketing, I think it's good. I think it should be a weekly to your brokers. It should be short. It should be relevant. And it should create curiosity. It should offer value. And it should have good subject lines, especially. Here would be an example of a good email e-blast that you could use to your broker database. It could be something like a subject line, especially right now at the beginning of a year. Broker 2014 business plan. Body of the email could just say, "Hi, everybody, Happy New Year," or whatever you might want to say. "Hi, everybody. I'm just wanted to contact you to let you know that if you didn't receive a copy of my loan originator game plan 2014 business plan, let me know. I'll be sure to get you a copy." Just that alone. So now that email has some relevance to it. We're trying to hit that. We're trying to, create that interest and curiosity. Now, if the broker does email you back and say, "Well, we know we didn't get a copy, by the way, because you didn't send it." But if he says, "Geez, I'd like to get a copy of that," there it is. Game on. Don't email it to him. See when you can set up a time to meet. Maybe it's the first time you've ever had an opportunity to have a business meeting with that broker. And it's kind of interesting. Once you have something that someone wants, it sort of changes the game, doesn't it? So I'm okay e-marketing. Make it relevant. You've got, again, you've got the game plan. Well, let's see. You've got the money list. You could offer the 16 and a half ways. You've got a lot of ways to catch their attention. Well, the telephone. Yeah, I'm okay with the telephone, but we already said you're going to get 8 or 9 voicemails out of 10. That's okay, but what that created was a voicemail marketing strategy. You see, what kind of a voicemail are you leaving? See, it also has to be value-rich. It can't be, "Hey, sorry I missed you. Hey, if you got any deals or anything you need help with, call me." No. Make it, again, carry it. The whole purpose of using the phone and email is to get a response. That's why we do it. It's not to just. It's not about information. "Hey, the bond market." You think your broker cares about the bond market if he's sitting there starving to death without a deal? So once again, what if you left the message a little bit different? The message, again, could say, "Hey, this is Bill. Sorry I missed you. I was just calling to make sure that you received a copy of my 2014 game plan business plan. If you didn't, get back to me. I'll make sure you get a copy." See, so then all of a sudden now even voicemail becomes okay. It's another selling opportunity. But I think we just got to be a lot keener on that. Texting. This is the year of text marketing. You've got to utilize texting like never before. Let's see. Your brokers that are between the age of 25 and 35, they don't respond to email. They don't answer their phone. They don't even know a phone is something you could use to call somebody. All they know a phone's for is just for texting. So when you're calling or emailing them and they're not responding, I got to tell you, they're not reading your stuff. So with that age group, you got to use text marketing. How about once a week you just send a text to, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 different brokers every week, something that's critical, short, 140 characters is all you get. Say something that's purposeful. Say something that, again, will elicit and evoke a response from that broker. You got plenty of tools. Now let's just use it. Now, for your other brokers, and by the way, these are the ones you have their cell phone numbers, obviously. The brokers that are the older group, I wouldn't use texting. You know, probably tick them off. Those are the ones you can call or email. So, but text marketing. So now we've got more classes, mastermind groups. We've got teleseminars. We're utilizing e-marketing. We're utilizing the phone. We're doing our face-to-face, belly-to-belly prospecting with those brokers that we can. How about QR codes? There's a free idea. What if you took your 10% difference and just typed it out and turned it into a QR code? You know, it's pretty simple. Go to oneqrcode.com, put it in your printer, hit print, and out comes a QR code. Maybe at the top it says, oh, I don't know, it could say, scan here for a business building message, or scan here for copy of loan officer business plan. Do you get that? So you could have it, you could be utilizing that, even that, for a number of ways. You know, when you go into an office and there's nobody there, well, what if you leave a QR code on all their chairs or desks? If that's all you left, I'm telling you, they're going to scan it. It's like a magnet. They have to see what it is. So we've got that. Oh, we're utilizing Facebook ads. If you have a meeting with a broker or that you've never met, let's say a week from now, why not take out an ad on that one broker's Facebook page? Come on, it's free. Every time they open their Facebook, they see you, a picture. By the time you meet them next week, it's like they've known you forever. And by the way, every other Facebook page they go to, your ad travels with them. That's called an impression, and that's also free. So even Facebook ads, I mean, that's like science fiction. But just think about with technology, you know, and then think about how you can teach brokers actually how to use that when reaching out to realtors. So we've got that. Now, I'm sure that you are looking at the broker's Facebook page, their website, before you even have a meeting with them, just to pick up clues. You know, when you read that button they have, it says maybe about me. By the time you meet them, maybe you've got a real icebreaker there because of something that you've discovered on their Facebook or on their website. I mean, there's a new tool. They could never do that before. I'd have to call somebody at their office, hey, tell me about Bob. What kind of food is he like? Well, now, I mean, I know everything about that guy. Just Google him. I mean, are you kidding me? So once again, got to be smart. Got to learn more about him. You know, I think one of the classes that that you could also consider today with all this technology is a social media marketing class. Now, remember, you don't have to be an expert on social media marketing. You just have to bring in a guest that's the specialist on social media marketing that'll teach that class for you for free so that they can get, once again, in front of some more prospective prospects. But that's a highly attended class. If you had a class on social media, video marketing, broker, bring your realtors, we've got a guest speaker. I'm telling you, that's a great class. And by the way, you're going to get free headshots for the broker and the realtor at the class. I mean, come on. That's one you've got to at least consider right there, and only because of getting yourself once again in front of the brokers. And remember, we got to be in front of them as much as we can. Now, be careful that you're not using too much of this technology. I think it's still all about, everything we've talked about, is getting into a conversation. In fact, in your game plan, AE game plan, I've given you a form for you to track your contacts, and I defined those, and your conversations as well as your appointments, because I think that contacts do lead to connections and conversations, and a number of those conversations hopefully lead into appointments. And where do the appointments lead? Bottom line business. So I don't think we've got to be keen at balancing all three. You know, if you're doing nothing but utilizing making contacts, whether that's leaving voicemails, doing e-marketing, sending flyers, whatever you're doing, without any conversations, I think we got to look at that. You might be going a mile wide, but only an inch deep. And I think maybe this is the year to shift that around, and maybe it's going a mile deep and an inch wide. Build better and deeper personal relationships with your brokers. Maybe that's a great place to begin. Well, enough of that. There's no ending to this, but here's the summary. If you did get a nugget now, all I can say is act swiftly. within 24 hours, I don't care if you took notes or not, ideas begin to die. So if you did get a nugget, if you're going to change your voicemail, do it right now. As soon as we hang up, change your voicemail. Get that energy going. You know, it's interesting that, I don't know, there's 1,800 books today on Amazon with the words "The Secret of Success" in the title. That's a lot of secrets. It's amazing to me. The secret of customer service. Well, how about this? Say please. Say thank you. I mean, it's kind of interesting. The secret to more business. Work. Okay, there you go. I just don't believe that success in our business is complicated. But there are some that make it complicated. In fact, they even want it to be complicated, because if they believe that it's complicated, it gives them a reason not to be successful. After all, it's complicated. I mean, come on, decomplicate your business. I think that your success will just be a natural consequence of applying the basics to your business every single day. And I think that what I liked the best about that was it's the natural consequence. And that's what you get when you apply the basics to your business every day. See more people, get excited, have a great message. I think it can start with just the beginning of that get excited about what you're doing. Well, with that, utilize the tools you have, and I will look forward to our next time together on another business building call with the coach. Goodbye, everybody.